going to discuss asbestos-related disease and some of the rural public health policy frameworks to address a slow-motion environmental event. I am reporting this morning from a community academic partnership established to study the health status of people exposed to asbestos from Libby, Montana, and as a result of this exposure, now living with asbestos-related disease. The research team includes our community partners from the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease, Dr. Brad Black, Kimberly Rouse, and I'm happy to introduce Tanis Hernandez. And then there are the academic partners, and Dr. Charlene Winters is the PI for this research, and my colleague, Dr. Wade Hill, there he is, is in the back. The purpose of this study was to establish a comprehensive understanding of the biopsychosocial health status and health service needs of persons exposed to Libby asbestos. Four tools were used to identify the biopsychosocial health status, including the St. George's Respiratory Questionnaire, which is a measure of chronic respiratory illness, the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depression Scale, the CESD, the Acceptance of Illness Scale, and the Perceived Stress Scale. A fifth tool was used to measure our second aim, the evaluation of success, access, availability, convenience, and financial aspects of care. And two subscales from the PSQ-3, the Patient Satisfaction Questionnaire, was used to study that concept. We are just completing data collection for this study. So for this session, I will concentrate on examining three public health policy frameworks to address access issues. I will also touch on disease trajectory and routes of exposure. Libby is located in the northwest corner of the state of Montana, close to the Canadian border and the panhandle of Idaho. And it is a beautiful place. In 1881, vermiculite was discovered in Libby, and between 1920 and 1990, it was mined, processed locally, and shipped to 300 processing plants around the country. The vermiculite was used in building products, insulation, soil conditioners, and fireproofing, and is embedded in homes, schools, and public buildings around the country today. In the heyday of the mining operations, up to 300,000 pounds of vermiculite ore was shipped by rail from Libby. And keep this picture in mind as you think about our national relationship to this frontier community. The larger dots represent over 2,000 shipments to these areas. Libby produced 80% of the world's supply of vermiculite between 1920 and 1990. And the problem with this vermiculite is it was contaminated with a particularly toxic form of asbestos known as the Libby amphibole. It is a termalite asbestos, and it is particularly dangerous. In 1999, EPA emergency response team began sample collection in Libby and discovered significant contamination threat in the town, to the town. ATSDR simultaneously was conducting a mortality review from the years 79 to 98 and found asbestos-related death rates in Libby 40 times higher than the rest of Montana and 60 times higher than the U.S. rate. In 2000, the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease was established, and they have over 1,500 patients from 32 states. Asbestos-related disease is a complicated and a disease with a long latency period, sometimes from exposure to diagnosis, 20 to 40 years. It is now, as of 2002, on the national priorities list in a Superfund site, and today Libby, the cleanup in Libby is continuing. The dose response complexities and unknowns, the post-exposure trajectories, cofactors such as smoking and genetics, health service disparities, and variations in human response to this environmental hazard calls for a dynamic public policy model to address the nuances of the population's health. However, to accomplish this, it is important to first examine the characteristics of this type of disaster. First of all, Libby does not fit the description of a typical disaster. This is the National Incident Management definition of disaster, and it certainly does fit the recent fires in San Diego or the tornado that wiped out Greensburg, Kansas, the hurricane, you know, of course, in the south, Hurricane Katrina, Libby, Montana, a national environmental disaster. If you drove there today, you would not know that. It is difficult to compare disasters, but helpful if you look at characteristics of these events. So if you think about Temple, all of the first three do qualify because, and they receive national attention immediately because they're sudden and dramatic. This problem in Libby, the disaster in Libby, was an emerging event. And the difference in terms of type, Libby was a technological disaster, and although there will be considerations if a man-made start to the fires in California is considered, it was a natural event that might have been increased by the man-made component. The population type is important. If you look at the two rural events, Kansas and Montana's event, they're both rural areas, and if you think about resilience, this might be argued, but in terms of resilience, I know what is happening in Montana, and this is a very resilient public. And so in Kansas, if you study that disaster, it is very dramatic to see what they are doing now to recover. The impact, 11 died in California fires, and the definitely property and possessions were affected. In Kansas, 8 people died in the tornado, and again, everything was wiped out. In Louisiana, the 1,300 people died that we know of, and many have been lost that were never found. And then, as far as the Libby event, this emerging technological disaster, 270, and probably Tanith could correct me on this, as far as I know, that is what the death rate is today. But tomorrow, and the next day, and the next month, it's increasing, because 1,800 people are currently diagnosed and sick, and more will be diagnosed in the next 20 years. In terms of what really is important, in terms of a public health emergency, in all three of the first three sudden events, a declaration resulted, a public health emergency declaration from the federal government resulted. It was supposed to occur in Libby, but that did not happen. So the policy implications of not having an emergency declaration in Libby, first of all, there is the question of 15 to 35 million homes, businesses, and schools that now house asbestos-contaminated insulation and other building products. Next, we don't really know the amount of exposure to asbestos that results in a health threat. And then finally, the people sickened by Libby asbestos often encounter what is best is described as a patchwork approach to healthcare services as a result of the lack of the declaration. And this is one of the important points that we want to keep in mind. So which policy framework would best support the multi-determinants of asbestos-related exposure and disease and address access to care issues? These three frameworks offer hope. First, the producing health, consuming healthcare framework is an ecological public health model that addresses a broad range of health determinants and interdisciplinary components, focusing on health promotion and the complex interactions of influencing factors. This familiar model suggests that health outcomes improve when a community organizes to address medical and non-medical health determinants. Next, the care across the continuum framework by Mueller and McKinney is a rural health policy model that is based on two IOM reports. This framework highlights the lifetime continuum of care and five principles, including individual capacity to pursue aspirations unfettered by disease or disability, comparable opportunities to obtain services, local resources, and a facilitated understanding and navigation of the system, complex health system. And finally, the multidimensional care model, community response to slow motion technological disasters, is a locally produced, community-based model that addresses, first of all, the disaster and what they describe as the lingering aftermath. It supports adaptation and recovery over time and generations, and provides an interdisciplinary group to address health care issues, advance community education and research, engage in political action to meet needs. And I'll just mention that in the last couple of weeks, this group took action to garner additional funds to keep the community going on health care issues, and they have a close relationship with our senators, who are very responsive. And finally, they advocate, broker, and facilitate, and basically monitor asbestos-related disease health outcomes, both locally and nationally. In summary, manage the national Libby cohort impacted by this emerging disaster calls for a dynamic public health policy that consistently meets the immediate health care needs of individuals affected by Libby asbestos and facilitates our national understanding of this disease. I propose that Libby is to asbestos-related disease as Framingham is to heart disease. Framingham is a community, but it is also the name of a life-sparing study. It has been called the study that changed America's heart. Libby is potentially our key to understanding the effects of a pervasive environmental hazard that today can be found in homes, schools, and businesses throughout the country. To learn more about Libby, I'd like to suggest that you attend one of these other sessions. You'll have to catch Rebecca Klein and Tanis Hernandez session 3058 on I Communicate because they did that yesterday. But this afternoon, Rebecca Klein, who is another research partner with the CARD Clinic, she's from the Carmonos Cancer Institute in Detroit. And she will be presenting, look for session 4327 and on Wednesday, 5074. Thank you very much.